Well, good morning once again. It's good to see you back for our sermon series, Grow, as we take a look through the book of 1 Thessalonians. As we've talked about in previous weeks, it's easy to agree that everyone here wants to grow, right? Whether you are trying to grow at work or at home or at school, or maybe you're trying to work on your fitness, whatever it may be, it's pretty safe to say that I think each person here wants to grow. And I don't think I've ever heard people boasting about trying to stay the same. I rarely hear people say, I want to stay at my same level of income. I want to stay at my same weight. I want to stay at the same level of smartness. I want my marriage to be exactly the same. Maybe some people say that. But more often than not, wouldn't you agree that people more talk about trying to improve and to get better? How I want to lose 5 pounds. I want to get in that next level of income. I want to get a better degree. I want my marriage to be happier. We all talk about growing and improving. Have you ever heard a politician say that I want to keep this country exactly the same? No, normally they boast about and have catchy campaign slogans along the ideas of change or grow or improve or hope. We like the idea of growing and improving. And I think the same is true for spiritual matters as well. There are many of you here today, and my guess is that since you came to church, at some level, you wish that you could grow spiritually. Sure, maybe there are some first-time visitors here who maybe you don't know quite what to think about God yet, or maybe you just came to church to make your mama happy or because that's just the habit that you're in. But my guess is that deep down, you want to grow spiritually, right? Each person here probably wants to have a good knowledge of the Bible, where you can take verses and apply them to your life, or you talk to someone else who's struggling, and then you will be able to quote verses to them to help them as well. We want to have a good Bible knowledge. And I bet each person here also wants to have a rock star prayer life, where you have great stories about how you prayed to God and how he listened to you, and you have great stories about how God answered your prayers. We want to grow spiritually too. But with that then, I have one question for you. Why do people stop growing? Why do people stop growing? What makes somebody start off strong in their faith and then later stop growing? Why does someone enter the church and seem really passionate about Jesus, but then later their faith seems to fizzle out? What makes somebody stand in front of this church here, confess their faith and become confirmed as a member, and then in less than a year decide that they don't want to go to church anymore? Why does somebody start a read the Bible in a year plan on January 1st, and by January 29th have that plan be long gone? Why is it that it's between 50 and 70% of all kids who are confirmed in eighth grade leave the church before they even graduate high school? Why do people do this? We like the idea of growing, I think, right? But why do we stop? My guess is you have a couple reasons in your mind why you think people stop growing. I've narrowed it down to, I think, 2 reasons, but what fun would it be if I gave you my 2 reasons right away? So instead, think about this question, keep it in the back of your mind, why do people stop growing as we continue in this sermon? In last week's message, we heard that the Apostle Paul was anxious to hear about how his church in Thessalonica was doing. He was very anxious about it. Because when he went there, his trip to Thessalonica, the first time when he started this church, it went well. The people, they listened to his message and they seemed to believe in Jesus. There are people there who didn't know about Jesus, and now because of Paul's efforts, they do know about Jesus. But something happened. Some terrible people came and they started persecuting Paul, and he had to leave the town quicker than he wanted to. And now he's left wondering, is this church still okay? Did they survive? I kind of like to picture it like the first time that the Apostle Paul, he entered Thessalonica, he brought his green growing and hope binder with him. And he got the group of Christians together, or people who didn't know about Jesus yet, and he started going through the lessons with them. And they got all the way through lesson 7. And the class was going great. They started asking good questions. They really started picking up on it. But then, just like that, Paul had to leave. And now he's left wondering, did my first 7 lessons do the trick? Are they still okay? Lessons 8, 9, and 10 are such important lessons, and I know they should know about it, but I really have to leave. So are they okay? Is this church still alive? And when Paul can stand it no longer, that's when he sends his young partner, Timothy, to go up and check on this church. And Paul waits for Timothy to come back to find out this report that he has for this church. And here's the report that Timothy gives. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecutions, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. So do you see the good news? This church that Paul thought might not have survived, they are alive and doing well. And this encourages Paul. This encourages him because his efforts weren't in vain. He found out that the church is doing well. Their faith is still very active and strong. They are standing firm in the Lord. Earlier, we just read Jesus' parable about a farmer scattering seed. And in this parable, we heard that the idea of a farmer scattering seed is really a metaphor for someone sharing the gospel message. And the place where the seed lands, that's a symbol for how somebody receives the message when they hear it. So the first place where the farmer scatters the seed, it lands on a hard path, and it never takes root, it never grows at all. And this represents the people who, when they hear the gospel message, immediately say, no, 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 this message is not for me. I do not like this message. And they never believe in Jesus. And then the second place where the farmer scattered seed, it lands among a rocky place where the plant, it starts to grow and it starts to bloom and it looks promising, but the plant, it doesn't take root because there are rocks. And eventually it dies out. And this represents the people who hear the gospel message, but because of the hard trials in life, because of persecutions, they aren't able to get their roots firmly established in the Lord, and their faith dies out. Then the third place where the farmer scattered seed is among the thorns, where this is similar to the rocky places, where this plant, it starts to grow again, but because of the thorns, they choke out the plant. And this is talking about people who, when they hear the gospel message, they become all fired up about Jesus, but then eventually they get distracted. They start distracted by the world. Maybe they start thinking about money too much, and they start thinking about worldly things instead of spiritual things, and eventually their faith dies out. I wonder if the Apostle Paul was thinking about this parable when he thought about his church of Thessalonica. Well, his gospel message did not land on a hard path because these people, they believed when he was there. But I wonder if Paul thought that the message was spread on either rocky soil or among the thorns. Because they started off strong in the faith, but then a persecution came. Did this persecution make them fall away from the faith? Or maybe it landed among the thorns. The people of Thessalonica, they live in a really worldly city where there's idol worship and they praise human success. Did this city drive away their faith? But in this account, we learned from Timothy that the gospel was spread on good soil. There were people who heard God's word and continued to believe it. And the rocky persecutions and the thorny success of the world did not make their faith fall away. And this is something worth being excited about. There are many of us here at Cross of Life that we have the same reasons to be excited about our faith. There are many people here that understand that persecution and trials are real, are very real, and something that's a serious matter. But for every student that went to a public school that at one point in their life was mocked or ridiculed because of their faith, you understand this persecution. And for every parent that had to stand idly by as they watched their child go through this, you know that this persecutions and trials are real. But God has preserved your faith. You still know the message of your Savior. And because of this, we rejoice that God preserves your faith even among rocky persecutions and hardships. And some of you have very competitive jobs. Jobs where they tell you that if you want to get ahead in your career, you need to put in 80 hours a week. And when you're home, you need to be checking your emails and have fun trying to spend time with your family because this job requires everything from you. And some of you have a job like this, but also believe in that message of Jesus. So for those of you that have this, that have a job like this, but still say no to the idea of worldly success and temptations, this is something worth praising God about, that God has kept your eyes focused on Jesus instead of worldly wealth and success. These types of things could very easily kill faith, but just like how God preserved your faith, he also preserved the faith of the people of Thessalonica. And Paul responds in a wonderful way. This is what he says to them next. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. So, as many of you know, I'm not actually Canadian. I've been here about 6 months, and for the 6 months that I've been here, I've barely talked about American football. So I feel like I owe it at least to myself that I could give one American football analogy. Is that okay with you? I ask you permission, but I'm just going to do it no matter what you say. So here we go. So maybe you know that lately it's been the NFL playoffs. And every time a team wins, they almost always interview the quarterback after the game. And sure, some of these guys are more well-spoken than others, but their message always seems to be pretty similar. And it has two parts to it. Part number one is this. Oh, I'm really excited about how the guys played today. We worked really hard and we earned that victory. That's part one of the message. And then part two is this. But I know we're already thinking about next week, and we have to practice really hard to be ready for next week. Part two of the message. Part one, we celebrate our victory. Part two, our work's not done yet. And that's basically the same advice and message that the Apostle Paul gives. Look at this verse again. In the first line, we see the Apostle Paul saying that we thank God for your faith. They're excited that they're doing well. He thought that they may have died out, but really, they are victorious. They still have their faith. And that's worth celebrating. But then look at the last line. The Apostle Paul has been praying to God that they may supply what is lacking in your faith. So their work is not done either. Part two of the message. Part one, they celebrate the faith that they have, and we can do the same. We celebrate the faith that we have in here, the people who have remained strong even despite terrible circumstances. But part two of the faith, or part two of this message is that your faith is not done growing. Your faith is never done growing. There's never a faith graduation day. As long as we're in this world, we still need to be growing in our faith. When we die, I guess you could call that our faith graduation day, because we get to be with Jesus forever. But until then, our work of growing in our faith is never done. So the Apostle Paul says, we celebrate your faith, but now is the time to grow. And the same is true for our church. Cross of Life. I celebrate your faith. I'm so glad that you're here. But now is the time to grow. Remember I asked you a question of why do you think people stop growing? I narrowed it down to a couple reasons. The heart of it is the fact that we have a sinful nature and a terrible Satan out there that's tempting to destroy our faith. That's the heart of the matter. But I think it gets narrowed down to two specific areas. People stop growing in their faith either because of detachment from God's word or detachment from community. Once you stay away from God's word, this will have problems. Whether you stay away from God's word for a month or a week or even a day, this will impact your life negatively because you aren't being fed by God's word. And if for some reason you decide that worshiping with other people is not important anymore, or gathering with other people in a Bible class, or just encouraging one another in your Christian walk of faith, this will hurt your faith as well. These two things are so necessary for us to grow. And that's why we try so hard at Cross of Life that on every Sunday we have both of these things. We have a preacher stand up here who's studied God's word for a week to make sure that it is clearly taught. And we have people choose specific songs that we sing that we can sing God's word as well. But then we also encourage you to stick around and talk to one another, stay after church, and to gather with one another publicly so that you can encourage one another with your presence and encourage one another in your spiritual journeys and walks in the faith. So these are two things that we need to have in our life. And I know what you're thinking already. Well, Vicar Tom, that's great that we have this on Sunday, but how do I get both of these things in my own life beyond Sunday? I'm glad you asked. Here we go. Advice tip number one would be to join a small group. And my guess is, looking at this slide right here, you're probably rolling your eyes. Because we stress this just about every single week. Hey, did you know that we're starting a new Growing in Hope class that you should sign up for? Or we start a new sermon series and we have Kevin running around with a clipboard and some of you kind of start doing that avoid eye contact thing. But why do you think we do this? Why do we think we stress joining a Bible class or a small group so much? It's because they have community and God's word in it. And we know that this will be good for your faith when you're in it. Just a couple weeks ago, I started a small group for young adults in their 20s. 2 weeks in, both times I felt refreshed afterwards. It's a good thing. It's good because there's community and God's word in it. And I know this will help you grow in your faith as well. And then the next thing will be to develop a Bible study habit. If you're rolling your eyes at the last bit of advice, I bet you're really rolling your eyes now. Of course the preacher wants me to read my Bible, right? But maybe you're someone out there that when you pick up a Bible, you look at it and are kind of intimidated. I mean, it has like 1,000 pages in it, a whole bunch of books of the Bible, names that I can barely pronounce, and even if I started to read it by myself, I don't even know if I'd get anything out of it. So today I'm going to offer a couple tips to help you jumpstart your own personal Bible study habits. Tip number one, start small. If you talk to any researcher out there that researches habit, they will give this advice for just about anything. If you're talking about your own personal fitness goals, they will tell you to start small. It's not smart if you say you want to work on your fitness to say, I'm going to work out now 6 times a week for 1.5 hours. Maybe you could do that for 1 week, but my guess is by week number 2, that would fall apart. And I think the same can be true for our personal Bible study habits, where you have someone start in the beginning of the year saying, I'm going to read the whole Bible, and I have to do 5 chapters a day. And then you keep going for a while, but then the second week comes, and you miss a day, and now you tell yourself, oh, now I have to read 10 chapters the next day if I want to keep with my plan, and then it just gets overwhelming, and you stop. So I think it's a good idea, just start small. 10 minutes a day. Start at 10 minutes a day, and then build up from there. Point number 2, go old school. I know there are lots of different Bible apps out there. And if you're the type of person that can read your Bible on your phone or an iPad and that works for you, keep doing that. I'm not going to tell you to stop. But if you're like me, the times I've tried to do that, first time I get a notification on my phone, boom, Bible study over. And I'm distracted, I'm on Facebook, whatever it may be. So I really think that there's still something said to have a physical book in your hand while you study the Bible. Maybe one that you can even write in. And I know this is hard for you to think, to write in a book. I know because there are so many people out there that want to preserve their first edition, mint condition, Jane Eyre novel. But when it comes to a Bible, it's good to write in it. It's good to take notes. It's good to highlight. I have many Bibles that are marked up with many notes, and I love it because it reminds me of things that I learned from years in the past. So if you have that great Bible you don't want to put notes in, maybe get a new, cheaper one and try it out. I think it will really help. And then finally, maybe the most important step, ask yourself two questions while you read. They're simple questions. What is this teaching? And what is this teaching me? Maybe get a piece of paper and write down three things for each. Just read a chapter of the Bible, write down three things that it's talking about, and then take those three things and apply it to your own life. What is this teaching? What is this teaching me? Hopefully these tips and tricks can help you jumpstart your Bible study habits. A while ago, while it was still warm out, I went to Good Life Fitness Center to work out. And I pulled into the parking lot, and I saw somebody get out of his car. He had his red Good Life bag over his shoulder, and in his other hand, he was holding a blue cup. A blue cup that I know each one of you are more than familiar with. It's the blue cup of a Dairy Queen Blizzard. And I watched this man as he's walking over to the gym. He stopped. He took that red spoon and he started scraping the cookie dough chunks from the bottom of his Blizzard, and he finished it off, and then he proceeded to go and work out. And I just stood there in awe. I was like, good luck, buddy. Have fun staying 45 minutes on the treadmill just to burn off that one Blizzard. Okay, I lied. This story didn't actually happen, but I'm sure my reaction would be the same. So if this man who had a Blizzard before he worked out, he went to the gym, and then he scratched his head afterwards, and he's like, gee, I'm just not seeing results. Well, duh. Give up your pre-game Dairy Queen Blizzard. It's pretty obvious. Well, my thought for you today is maybe there are some people out here who are thinking, I just don't think I've seen myself grow that much spiritually lately. And my question for you is, what is your Blizzard? What is that thing that prevents you from growing in your faith? Maybe your Blizzard is your busy schedule and neglecting time for God and His Word. Maybe it's those nerves that you have that are too scared to sign up for a Bible class because you don't know anyone else in it. Maybe it's that time that you want to spend doing other things, or that warm bed that you have on a Sunday morning. Whatever it may be, find out what your Blizzard is. Find out what it is that's distracting you from growing in your faith. The Apostle Paul then has some words for his church, and he ends this chapter with a blessing, asking God that these people may grow. He says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." So Paul, you see it here, he's asking God that they may grow in love and strengthen one another in the faith. He wants these people to grow. But I think it's interesting of why he wants them to grow. Did you catch it? It's so that they may be found holy and blameless when Jesus comes back again. So how does this happen? How is it that we can be sure when Jesus comes back again that we will be found holy and blameless? Well, when we ask ourselves this question, our own personal growth is never part of the answer. Our answer is found in Jesus. Jesus came to this world and he saw your dirty t-shirt. He saw that shirt that you wear that is stained with sin. For every time that you neglect God's word, another dark splotch on this shirt. For every time you push yourself away from community, another gross stain over your shirt. But Jesus came to this world and he put on that shirt that you were wearing himself, and he got nailed to the cross. He did this so that Jesus could take that dirty shirt off of you and instead give you a robe of righteousness. A robe that is perfect. A robe without stain, without wrinkles, without any blemishes on it. A robe that covers all of your sins. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, now is the time for you to grow. But also be assured that you will be found holy and blameless one day when Jesus comes back, because he gives you that robe of righteousness. Amen.